Captain, could I speak to you?
Captain Solis looked up from his work, much less menacing than she had once thought him.
Certainly.
It's about these forms for a change of status. The warnings to personnel?
I don't imagine you're in any trouble. You and the young man are both fleet officers. Unless you still think you're robbing cradles.
No, sir. But the section on planetary entanglements...
I know your father's a prominent person, but you're a fleet officer.
And a land bride.
Land bride? What is that?
Esme handed over the printout she'd made.
A prescribed position, it says here. I don't know if it applies. I am a fleet officer, and when we met, I wasn't land bride Suiza.
Huh? Land bride must be something extraordinary. What does a land bride do, Lieutenant?
That was not something she could explain when she didn't half understand it herself.
It's... The land bride represents the family's bond to the land, to the soil itself, in the family holdings. She's a symbol of the family's commitment to the land. It's sort of religious.
I didn't even know you were a land bride.
It happened during my leave home, after my great-grandmother died. When I came back, we were so busy with the rescue mission, I guess I forgot to put it in. I didn't think about it being important.
Yes. We were all somewhat preoccupied right then. But you need to report it now. Personnel will definitely want to know, and they may have some concerns about your duties. How much time you'll need to be away from Fleet, and so on.
I won't. That's what my father said.
But religion... Religious positions usually require some actual commitment of time and effort, Lieutenant. If you aren't there...
Esme thought suddenly of the spring and fall eveners, when her great-grandmother had ridden out to do something, she didn't know what, in the fields. No one had mentioned that to her.
It all happened so fast. And then I came back.
You need to get it straightened out, whatever it is, before you marry young Serrano. Not just because of regulations, but because you both need to know what you're getting into. And I see here you're in double jeopardy, with your father being a sector commander.
Yes, sir. But they knew that when I went into the prep school.
But you weren't then about to marry into one of the oldest families in Fleet.
The very matter-of-factness of it set a barrier of steel between her and what she hoped for. Esme nodded and withdrew. Master Chief Kataro, after rummaging in the admin database for the correct form, gnawed the corner of her lip. Another dive into the database.
Ah. What I think will work is a 7653, an application for exception unspecified, and a 78B4, an incident report, personnel infraction unspecified, and then you'll need a 9245. No, actually two of them. One to accompany each of the others.
Chief Kataro grinned, looking happier with each additional form.
And it might be just as well to file your 8813, your application for permission for permanent bond, linked to the code tag for your pre-commissioning records, because that will have your prep school classifications, and of course you'll need...
Chief, I'm not going to have the time to do all that at once.
Kataro had the quiet twinkle of the senior NCO who has just been able to dump a load of work on a junior officer.
Best get started, then. I'll just pipe it to your desk, shall I? Or would you rather work in here?
She could always fill in the blanks while working on something else.
My desk, please, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Filling out the forms to Chief Kataro's satisfaction kept her busy the rest of that shift and part of the next, along with her other work. For reasons known only to the forms designers and personnel, none of the forms asked for the information in the same order, or even the same format, which made it impossible to simply port data from one to the other.
They really do not want land brides to marry into Fleet.
Baron's message cube, when she finally had time to put it in the reader, was less informative than she'd hoped. He loved her, she couldn't hear that too often, and he was still waiting to hear from his parents. He was afraid they'd be upset by the administrative decision to make him responsible for the support of the women brought back from Our Texas. It was going to be hard to convince personnel to approve the paperwork for a status change when clearly he couldn't afford any more dependents. Esme wondered if someone in admin had gone bonkers.
Why are they demanding that Baron pay support for these women?
He had included the data he thought she'd need. Evidently, he hadn't yet found the sections of the application which forbade her to exist or him to marry her. He promised to write again, but pointed out that his entire salary going to the support of the New Tech's women, he would be limited to ship-to-ship transfers within the fleet postal system. Esme added his information to her paperwork, and then completed what she could of her application, along with the belated notice of relationship papers. It was all so silly. They'd known she was a sector commander's daughter when they accepted her into fleet, and Altiplano had no desire to influence the Familius Grand Council anyway. It had never even tried to get a seat in council.
Why is it on the proscribed list? And if they're going to put land brides on, why don't they do the elementary research to find out there's no such thing as a land groom?
Cursing the anonymous they in silence, Esme finished the forms, stamped and thumb-sealed them, and took them back to the captain's office for his clerk to make the required copies and ready them for transit. She went back to the rest of the message cube later. The former Ranger's wives, now settled uneasily in an apartment block on Rockhouse Major, were constantly asking Baron for assurances he could not provide.
Grandmother knows why I did it, and agrees that it was justifiable under the circumstances. But she warned me that the fleet would not be pleased, no matter what kind of report she turned in. Everyone, from the women to the admirals, seems to think it's my place to come up with a solution. And I'm stumped. Those women don't seem to be capable of anything but sitting around complaining, and now the civil authorities are jumping on me because they won't send their children to school.
Esme hadn't thought much about the women and children removed, or rescued, on that mission since leaving the task force. She'd assumed the women who had been prisoners had received medical treatment, and that someone had done something about the others. Apparently not. Though it was hardly fair to land all the responsibility on Baron. If he was going to be held accountable, then clearly she herself had to do something. But it was a nuisance being stuck on a different ship. They couldn't just talk it over, share ideas, come up with solutions. She prepared queries for Baron and the Fleet Library Search Service, and at the next down jump, sent them off. The idea woke her out of a sound sleep some nights later, and she lay there wide-eyed, amazed at herself. The women needed a place to live and raise their children, preferably on a planet. They needed a way to earn a living. Brunn had suggested the latter, with her comments about their skill in handwork. And now Esme had herself thought of a solution to the former problem. Altiplano. As the landbride Suiza, she could settle them on Suiza lands, in their own village if necessary, where they could follow their own customs. Their handwork could be exported, along with the gene stock, to fill out their income beyond what they could produce from the land. She would be willing to give them a start of livestock from her own personal holdings. Their children could grow up as Altiplanans. In a few generations, they'd be assimilated completely. The more she thought about it, the better it seemed. The women might even find husbands on Altiplano if they wanted them. Since their beliefs fit somewhere on the great branching tree of religions that had grown out of Old Earth Christianity, surely they would find the tone of Altiplano's old believers congenial. She tried not to think of those passages in her child's history book about the religious disputes. Her great-grandmother had insisted that they were all the result of insufficient humility and excessive arrogance. And anyway, religious freedom was now part of the Altiplanan legal code. Though Altiplano lacked the diversity of culture of Fleet or the more cosmopolitan planets. Since she couldn't go back to sleep, she turned on her desk unit and recorded a cube for Baron with the gist of her idea. Then one for Lucy, telling her cousin all about the wedding plans and Baron's problems, and asking about vacancies on Suiza lands. In her mind's eye, she saw them settled somewhere in the south, in a tidy little village of stone houses with kitchen gardens. Something very like what Baron had described as the households they'd come from. By the time she'd populated their pastures with Kateri goats and cantaloupes and imagined them all cheerful and productive with laughing children playing in the lanes, she was sleepy again. She went back to bed, sure that all problems had solutions, and this one had just been solved. Next morning, she was not quite as sure. She thought she remembered that they were free birthers, or at least their men were. But she put the cubes in the outgoing mail collection anyway, and went on with her work.